Chapter 33. Wielding his warhammer, Brenwar rushed between Nath and Selene. Shaman Hovind stood ready on either side of him.
The dead rise against us. Stay back, Nath.
Selene let out a soft chuckle, opened her palms, and took a knee.
I assure you I am not dead, Brenwar Bodegild, and I am not here to fight against you either.
She rose back up, eyeing Nath.
I come to join you.
Selene had changed. The hard lines on her face had softened. The black scales that had dressed her body were now lavender, mixed with white. Her presence was soothing, almost radiant and beautiful. Nath's heart pumped hard inside his chest. He sensed that hers rang as true as there had ever been. Behind Selene, Sansla Libra let out a grunt. Shum and Hovind sheathed their swords and backed away. Nath folded his arms over his chest.
You have much to explain.
It would be my pleasure.
She grabbed the necklace around her neck and pulled it out from underneath her white robes, revealing a brilliant white amulet that illuminated the room. Everyone shielded their eyes but Selene and Nath.
The Ocular of Ore,
he said in amazement.
I died,
she said.
But Sansla, Lydorn, and the elves redeemed me.
Nath stepped closer. His eyes slid from hers to the amulet.
Why would they?
To help you, I believe.
She forced a smile.
The ocular sustains me, so long as it is in my possession. It's temporary.
Nath looked solemnly into her eyes.
You'll die without it?
It's uncertain, but most likely.
Selene tucked the ocular back inside her robes.
That's why I need to teach you all that I can in the little time we have left together.
Nath reached out and held her face between his hands. She was warm and more real than she had ever been before. He felt the light within her.
Bezog, did you know about this?
He said over his shoulder.
I knew they had her. I did not know she was revived. It's a wondrous thing that the elves would use the ocular on Selene. A good sign, I believe.
A great sign.
He studied Selene's eyes.
I'm glad you returned. And I hope it's not temporary.
She squeezed his hand.
So do I.
Are there any other surprises?
Dragon!
Ben said, bursting inside.
Dragon! Come quick!
Nath rushed outside the barn. Dragons, in flocks like birds, were landing in the fields. Their bright eyes and colorful scales twinkled in the moonlight.
Your army comes,
Selene said in his ear.
Are you ready to lead them? Can you feel that?
Selene said to Nath.
What is she thinking?
It was still nighttime. Nath stood facing a golden-flared dragon. She had long lashes over her pretty eyes, and he could feel her heart beating under his fingertips.
She thinks I'm handsome,
he said, showing a broad grin. Selene rolled her eyes.
Uh-huh, and what else?
She's ready to fight. Eager.
Tell her to do something. Bend her will.
Nath didn't like the sound of that.
I'd rather ask.
Selene folded her arms across her chest.
A general doesn't ask his soldiers to fight in the war. He's a commander. He gives orders.
True. And they follow a commander they respect even better.
You're proven, Nath. They wouldn't be here if you weren't.
Fine.
He cleared his throat and spoke in Dragonese.
Golden flare, trip Selene.
The dragon's tail whipped out, making the sound of a cracking whip. Selene was upended and crashed onto the ground. Nath nodded in satisfaction.
I think I have it. What other lessons will you teach me now?
Celine walked him through the steps of changing form. As a man, he grew a tail and wings. He added horns even.
Fascinating.
She taught him to blow different kinds of smoke, acid, fire, and even ice. He froze trees and shattered them with ease.
Summon enough power, and your roar alone can split rock and splinter trees,
she said.
But your power is limited. You control great magic and can do many things. Just don't overdo it. Our enemy is ancient, Nath. He'll tempt you to burn up your powers until you weaken. And then, like a monstrous asp, he'll strike you in the neck, burrow inside your body, and poison the heart within.
Her expression became distant.
That's what he did to me.
Nath nodded.
You surprised him once before,
she said.
He won't be caught off guard a second time.
Could I have killed him then, when I had him?
His body, maybe, but not his spirit. It takes a special weapon to sever the spirit from the body. That's what Barnabas did.
Nath remembered the legends of the man Barnabas that Bezog had shown him long ago. Barnabas had wielded a great sword that lanced and banished Gorn after the last Dragon War. Barnabas' heroics had been twisted ever since and turned against the good.
You know what happened to Barnabas and that sword?
Nath asked of Celine. She chuckled.
Do you not yet know who Barnabas is?
No. Should I?
Yes, you should. Barnabas is your father.
Nath's limbs went numb.
What?
Inside, it all felt true. And then he realized there had been a time when his father was a man, too. Celine puckered her brows. So did Nath.
But the sword, Fang, he made for me. Fang can't be the same sword that he used before, is he?
I don't think the last sword did the trick. And I believe your father forged another. I've heard it told that the other blade snapped the last time he used it. It vanquished the dragon warlord, but not entirely.
So that's why he wants Fang?
That blade, in the right hands, can destroy both body and spirit,
she said.
He fears it.
All this time I had the key in my claws, he said, eyeing Celine. And you knew it.
I suspected.
Why didn't you try to take Fang way back when?
Celine gazed up at the floating city.
He wanted me to turn your will. With you on his side, the blade's power would have been useless. He took a calculated risk. I failed at my task, and now he just needs the blade.
She turned her gaze back to him.
Sorry, Nath.
I guess I'll have to forgive you,
he said, holding her gaze.
But I have one other question. Where is Fang?